Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at denverfan.com. Presented by Siltahar Motors. The car buying experience is as easy as call, click, or come in at Siltahar Motors. Get upfront trade value with one call. Research and compare vehicles at sthmotors.com. Or come in and ask for Greg Larson and get $500 off any purchase. Siltahar Motors. Easy to find and conveniently located right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
Welcome to Four Down Territory. As Stink and Mike take a look at the four biggest stories in Denver sports. Here's Schlereth and Evans kicking it off with First Down.
All right, Nathaniel Hackett yesterday talking to the media, but asked what his message to the fans, you, the fans, would be.
Our fans mean the world to all of us. We work hard because we want to put a great product out on the field. We know that hasn't been there, especially from the offensive side of the ball. And everybody in that room, both coaches and players, are doing every single thing we can to try to put a better product out there. And we got to prove it.
I don't question their work ethic. But it's the old line. I'd rather work smarter than work harder. And I just wonder, how smart are they working over there?
I think there's that part of it. I think there's also the part of it is, you know, when you have new players playing new positions, sometimes it's really hard as a coach to dumb things down. And when you got a bunch of young guys and you got a, you know, small up, simple down, and be able to find two or three things that you know you can do well in the passing game. You know, I always tell you, find one thing. Just find me one thing you can do. And I can build three or four things off that one thing. But right now, when I watch them on film, they don't have one thing. They have zero things they do well.
In listening to you in Telestrator Tuesday talk about the differences between Russ and this offense week one against Seattle versus what we just witnessed against Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
I know everybody says you can't use injuries as an excuse, but that's kind of what I'm hearing, is that you're saying injuries are the reason why this offense is struggling as badly as it is. There's just too many key guys are out.
There's a difference between ones and twos. Yeah, there's a reason why a guy is a starter and another guy is not. With that said, you can't use it as an excuse. You've got to be able to find things those guys do well. Every guy can do something well. Yeah, well, otherwise, why is he on your team? And so you've got to be able to adjust those things. But again, becoming more spread, like your receivers are all down, you know, your O-line is injured. Spreading everybody out does not help. And some people will tell you, well, from a protection standpoint, it's easier for the quarterback to see. There's a lot of theories behind it. But there's a lot more exotic stuff you can do when you're putting on, you know, five and six defensive backs. There's a lot more blitz stuff that you've got to be very aware of as an offensive player. And some things you can eliminate. And some athleticism that you can eliminate when you get big. The bigger you are as an offense, the bigger they have to match you as a defense, and the bigger dudes are not as athletic.
Next and four down.
Second down.
He fumbled again!
Melvin Gordon is now... You saw this coming. You saw this coming a mile away. He's a Kansas City Chief.
Mm-hmm.
Signed to their practice squad. But do you anticipate he'll be active against the Broncos here in a couple of weeks?
Well, they've had some injury issues at the running back position. Not that they really care about running the ball in Kansas City. They don't have to because they've got, you know.
They're getting it done right now with Isaiah Pacheco, who they drafted. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is hurt.
Has been hurt.
They also have Jerick McKinnon. So, where's Melvin Gordon's role in all this? Because when Melvin Gordon's right, and if you can if you can trust him not to put the ball on the ground, I think he becomes Kansas City's best running back.
But you've never been able to trust that.
I know.
That's, he leads it. Since he came in the league in 2015, there's no running back in the league that's got more fumbles than Melvin Gordon. So That's just part of his game. At this point, you just got to understand that he's going to put the ball on the ground. But could I see them using him down the stretch? Yeah, absolutely. I could see them using him.
You know he'll play well. You know he will.
Oh, against the Broncos?
Of course he will. It's just the way it works. It's the world we live in right now. Sucks for us. It'll be great for them. Next in four down. The Nuggets last night taking on Houston and blowing out the Rockets 129-113. Although it was a game in which tight at the half, but this is what good teams do. And this is some of the things that I like about this Nuggets team. Yes, it's NBA basketball. First half, you kind of go through the motions. Nobody's really interested in playing D. It's a close game. But the good teams are the ones that come out in the third quarter, put the hammer down, and say enough's enough. Mm. Playtime is over. Establish control of the game. And then cruise on home in the fourth quarter, which is what happened yesterday.
Yeah, Malone said, you know, I'd like to see us play that way for four quarters. That's the difference between good and great. But the fact that you can turn it on, Mike, and you, here's the thing I love about him. His message is consistent. He lets his team know exactly, you know, what he expects of them. And when they play the way he asks them to play, they're pretty dominant.
Well, here's the coach's message.
Third down.
Second half, we held them to 45 points. We held them to 34% from the field. We held them to 23% from the three-point line, 4-17. And that defense led to offense, you know, and that's how we have to play. That was my message to our guys. We want to be a good team. Do we want to be a great team? And if we want to be a great team, we have to find a way to defend for four quarters, not just a half. And we got away with it tonight, but we just have to be a lot more consistent on that end of the floor.
All right, so the Nuggets now a 13-7, second place in the Western Conference.
Yes, and I think he just gave us some great insight into what happened with Mike Purcell and Russell Wilson.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
You didn't hear his last quote there. You weren't listening. I could tell.
What was his last quote?
It's like, hey, defense led to good offense. Purcell is going, this defense should be leading good offense. What the hell is going on out there?
That's a good point.
Right? What the hell is going on out there?
Next in four down.
One, two, three. Fourth down.
U.S. World Cup soccer today taking on Iran. A win and the U.S. moves on. A draw or a loss, they go home. You've got the World Cup coming to America in 2026. If you want to really create some momentum, you got to use this as a springboard to it. You got to get out of pool play. You got to be one of the final 16 teams. You can't, with everything laid out in front of you, you cannot lose or draw today. That is flat out unacceptable. Noontime today, we'll find out.
Do you know that only eight countries have won a World Cup? Total.
Oh yeah, it's like college football right now. It's the same cast of characters, but I'm not expecting the U.S. to win it.
Right.
But you got to be one. You got to get past, especially when you're playing in a pool that's got Iran and Wales in it. You know, you got to advance.
Those guys are little.
They are little. They're wee.
They're wee little guys.
Wee like little guys.
Like all those Neymar, all the famous guys. Neymar. Who's the other? The Cristiano Ronaldo. Who's the other guy that's real famous?
Messi.
He's like
Messi.
5 foot.
Lionel
four.
Messi.
He's not tall.
He's not tall. They're not.
No,
tall.
They're not tall. They would not play on Vance Joseph's team.
No, I just wonder what if we took our best athletes. Our best athletes in every sport and said, go play soccer. Wouldn't we dominate? I mean, if you had a team that was made up of, take a Justin Simmons or take a Mike Trout.
Right.
That's a team say, we're getting tall.
Just a really big, strong, fast athletes.
Right.
Don't you think we'd dominate?
Do I think we would? Yeah.
I think the Russians tall.
Don't you think we?
I know soccer fan is going to lose their mind over this.
Those guys are.
I'm telling you. You're telling me that if we had a bunch of guys 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", that could just run and run like the wind, and we're 220 pounds.
We wouldn't dominate. I always said,
Come on now, I
should be the World Cup coach.
Why?
Because we're not going to win any games. We're not getting out of the pool. I'm just going to tell you that right now. But nobody else is either.
We're going to be
in our pool. Like, that magic water ain't healing. Those wee little people.
Those aren't going to be fake flops.
No.
They're going to be real laid out.
We're going to lay dudes out. Well, by the end of the game, we'll be playing with three guys.
There he is, everybody. Mark Schlereth. That'll do it for Four Down Territory. Mike Kliss, our 9 News Bronco insider, joins us next. Is he surprised that Nathaniel Hackett was up there as still head coach of the Denver Broncos? Mike joins us next.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Mike Kliss of 9 News joins us, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Good morning, Michael.
Morning, guys.
Were you surprised? I think we were both surprised that no changes were made yesterday. Thought that maybe after another dismal offensive performance in Carolina against another really bad football team, that that might be the straw that breaks the camel's back. But no changes.
No changes. I think you could have made a case that that was the right timing yesterday, because it's back to back. You know, losing to 2-7 and 3-8 teams, and Monday, I should say, that was the first time I thought the Broncos were uninspired. You know, that they it's not that they quit. I disagree with the notion that they quit, and I think that, you know, the evidence of that was they scored the late touchdown, got the they did a good job recovering the onside kick. So they kept plugging, but they didn't have the same will. It looked to me, and maybe it's just because they couldn't stop the run. You know, Fangio used to say, when you can't stop the run, it looks like you're flat. And, you know, it's like a pitcher who dominates hitters. It looks like the hitting team is flat. They just can't hit the pitcher. And maybe that was it right off the bat. Justin Simmons got trucked by the tight end there, was dragged for 8 yards, kind of set the tone on the physicality. It almost looked like the team was affected by the fact, they know their coach is in trouble. And, it just didn't seem right. But they decided to stick. You know, if there's 6 games left to go in the season, it is a little depressing to think that they're just going to go out to Baltimore this week and expect things to change just because. But that's where it is right now.
Mike, can you explain, and I don't think this is just necessarily for the Broncos. I think it tends to be the thinking around the league as well. Why is there a sense, well, we'll just wait till the end of the season, that it doesn't really serve us that well, that much, to do it during the season? Why is there this seemingly groupthink mentality of, well, we'll wait till the end of the season to do this?
A couple of reasons. One, interim coaches historically don't make that big a difference. And, ask Wade Phillips what it's like to be an interim coach. He's been one, about 3 times, I think, and it's hurt his overall record if you add it in. If let's say you make Everall the interim coach here for the final 6 games, it's not going to fix the offense. The offense is still going to score 10 points against Baltimore, with those points coming probably in the final 2 minutes of each half against Prevent. That's not going to change. The other thing is you have to think who you want to bring in and hire. I don't think you want to send the message that to any coaching candidate out there that if it doesn't work out after 11 games, you could get fired. You want a little bit more demonstration that the ownership and the leaders are behind the coach. I think that is maybe an underrated factor. You know, you look in and you fire Nathaniel Hackett on a 3-8 start, and you got Russell, you know, with Russell Wilson, another coach could look in and say, boy, that's a job you don't want. So I think that might be a factor, too.
Offensively, obviously they turned over the play-calling duties to Clint Kubiak. Looked like pretty good decision for a half against the Raiders, and then it just kind of dissipated. Last week was awful. What do they do now? I mean, are they just out of options? Do we just have to sit and watch this dreck for the next, you know, however many games? What did you say, five games left? So six games left?
Six games left. It appears so. I mean, they get Judy. They could get Judy and Hamler back this week. How they cut and move around on Wednesday will be the determining factor. But that would give them a little bit of a bump. But otherwise, yeah, I mean, look what they're running out there, guys. Latavius Murray is still an adequate back, but boy, that 52-yard run, the last 10 yards, I felt for him. you got three running backs that were all on practice squads this year. The receiving core, you know, it's Cortland Sutton and just a bunch of kids. You know, Kendall Hinton is a nice player, an overachiever, but, he's not necessarily a number two receiver.
Mike, if I may jump in real quick, is there a real sense in that building, and is this maybe what is saving Hackett, that this is a, in their mind, this is a valid excuse, that there have been so many injuries, so many key guys, that it's not fair to pin this on Hackett to the point where you fire him? Is there a genuine feeling of that in the building over there?
That's a factor. The injuries are a factor for Nathaniel Hackett. As far as not firing him now, not firing him, and you know, at the end of the season, that might be two different things. We'll have to wait and see on that.
Okay.
I do think inside the building, they're rooting for Nathaniel Hackett for this team to finish strong, so they don't have to fire him. You know, there's maybe some thought of keeping them and changing up some assistants, after the season. I mean, that's a possibility right now, believe it or not, it is. And we'll have to see how this finishes up. But right now, guys, I mean, it's been week after week after week after week with this offense. And there's no reason to believe it's going to change much, other than if Judy and Hamler come back completely healthy and are ready to roll. It's going to be tough sledding from here on out. You know, the Melvin Gordon goes to the Chiefs on a practice squad, and one of my colleagues said, "Is it possible they got the Chiefs signed him for intel?" on the Broncos. I said that would be like the Globetrotters signing away red clots from the Generals. You know, what's the point? You can only confuse yourself.
That's a deep pull right there. That is a deep pull. All right, Mike, we got to roll. That's good stuff. That's a good, yeah.
Right,
I thought the same thing. I started to think the same exact thing. Thank you, Mike Kliss. I started to think the same exact thing about that. Then I stopped myself. I went, no, that has absolutely nothing to do with it.
Right.
They're not here to get Denver Bronco intel.
The only intel they'd be like, okay, tell us about your offense so we make sure we never do any of the things you guys are doing.
Exactly.
Like, we don't want to have any carryover.
Oh, my goodness. Mike Kliss of 9 News joining us, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook. What's Trending? Coming up next.
Here's Schlereth and Evans with What's Trending right now.
Maybe we want to pump the brakes on the whole, hey, Jeff Saturday, what a cool story.
Yeah, he's screwing me right now.
Because he's
screwing me.
He is really hurting your chances of being the next coach of the Denver Broncos.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
When they were 1-0, it was all the rage.
All right. Instead, they lose again. Now they're 1-2, and he's already having to answer questions, stop me if you've heard this before, about clock management and in-game management as they let the clock run down in the final minute, still with two timeouts, let a bunch of time run off the clock, and then they had to run a hurried third down play. They got stuffed. They end up losing to the Steelers, 24-17. The Steelers! Kenny Pickett looking pretty good.
Yeah, you know, when the Steelers, it's amazing, the formula. When the Steelers run the ball well, set up their play action, and create some easy answers for Kenny Pickett right off the bat, well, offensively, they actually can perform a little bit. And we saw that. It's weird. You mean there is a formula? That's weird.
Who would have thunk it?
Inconceivable.
So, Deion Sanders to the CU Buffaloes. It's not going away. In fact, Primetime himself saying that, yep, CU's interested and so am I.
Yeah, definitely. The report is true. They're not the only ones. The report is true. I'm not going to sit on here and tell all the business, but they're not the only ones. And I would be a liar if I told you they didn't. You know they did. I know they did. Everybody there know they did. So it is what it is.
That would be great. And sure, it would be a stepping stone. If he came here and did well, he would absolutely move on to a bigger school with a bigger payday. I'm fine with that. I understand that's where CU is right now, but if you can bring in a guy that would instantly, overnight, energize the fan base, energize the alumni, energize even fans, sports fans in Denver who aren't even necessarily CU fans, do it!
Hell yeah!
It's so much better than what you got now.
Yeah, it's...
It becomes, make it happen.
It becomes an easy fix, and I think the biggest thing, Mike, is you'll win a bunch of recruiting battles. Guys want to play for Deion Sanders. They want to play for Primetime. I mean, he's a motivational guy. He is a, you know, he's a guy that people want to play for. Energize the program, energize the recruiting trail. I mean, you got a chance to play for one of the greatest NFL players in the history of the NFL.
Huge.
Talking to a couple of, you know, people I know close to the program that they think that they got this. They think that they're going to get him. There is a real, real sense of optimism that this is going to happen. Now, somebody could swoop in at the last moment and make a better offer, but as of right now, the feeling around the program is that they think that it is better than 50-50 that they're going to get him.
This is so exciting.
It is exciting.
It would be awesome.
I gotta play this first.
You don't know this. What you don't?
I didn't read the rundown.
You don't look at the rundown.
I know the song.
I know. What's the song?
Love Hurts
by. Come on, you know everything.
I know.
Is there? Are you stumped? Come on. It's kind of a biblical name. Come on. Okay, while you're thinking about this,
okay,
just kind of leave this in the background, okay? A photo's gone viral, which is awesome. After the Green Bay-Philadelphia game, Jalen Hurts and Jordan Love shook hands.
Yeah.
And the way that the picture was taken was perfect because it was Jordan on the left, Jalen on the right, and it spelled out right
love
there.
Hurts.
Love Hurts.
I saw it.
It was great.
Okay, so I'm trying to come up. Wait.
You're more bothered by
just here. Okay, let me go through the New Testament. Ready? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st Timothy, 2nd Timothy, Titus, Hebrew, James.
Wow! No,
have I gotten? Have
this
I gotten?
This is impressive.
Have I gotten? No.
Actually, is it a book in the Bible? I'm not sure. Nazareth.
Oh gosh, guy, how did I not Nazareth?
Wow, no, that was
a book in the Bible, but it is.
Oh,
a,
okay. Well, the biblical place. Figure. Yeah,
okay. Nazareth.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Wow, that was impressive. Actually, the way you just rattled through that.
Yeah.
Okay, that is what is trending. Congratulations. Good luck to our U.S. Soccer team today.
Yes.
They take on Iran at noontime our time.
Uh huh.
I'm going to watch. Enjoy all the nuances of the game.
Nuances. Well, we should pummel them. 2-1. Just a pummeling.
No, that wouldn't be a pummel. 2-0. Just 2-0. Destroy them. Just 2-0. Just
3-1. Is 3-1 a pummeling?
Oh, yeah. If you win by 2 goals or more, that's a pummeling. That's the equivalent of like 42-7 in football. If you win by 2 goals.
Okay. So a goal is like, it's like dog years.
It's like a goal in soccer is like
dog years.
Like two, I was going to say 2 touchdowns. I think it's like 2 touchdowns.
How did they come up with dog years, by the way? How do they know what a dog's year is? Did they find a dog calendar?
It's science.
Like, how do they figure that out? I don't
buy it. How did they come up with it? Was it 1 year? What, 7 years for every
seven
one?
7 years for every one?
No, oh, that's so-and-so in dog years.
How do you know?
Right. How do you guys know what a dog year is?
At least, like, with it, when you're figuring out the tree, you can look at the rings of a tree and you can determine how old it is. That makes sense. That's science.
That is science.
But what about dog years?
It's science.
They cut off a leg and see how many rings it has
in it? Exactly. Right.
Let me just check out the age of my... I don't know the age of my dog. Lop a leg off. Let's find out. Like, I don't...
That's assault, brother.
Yeah. I don't know who came up with dog... But we just take that like it...
Right? It's like gospel.
Yeah. They're always like, well, you know, a dog can't see color. How do you know? How do you know that? Is that science, too?
You know, we haven't done this in a while.
Maybe they don't have it.
Because we've been on top of our game. Right. But I got to ask, what are we talking about?
I'm talking about dog years.
Got to wait for the big finish.
New York, London, Paris, Munich. Everybody talk about bop music.
Brock Hewitt, our Russell Wilson whisperer, joins us. I want you to share from Telestrator Tuesday.
Sure.
What you saw, the biggest difference between Russ in this offense week one against Seattle versus what it is devolved into just this most recent example against Carolina. Share your theories with Brock. We'll hash that out coming up next.
Loosen up those joints and muscles. It's time for your 7:45 stretch. Here's Schlereth and Evans with the biggest story in Denver sports.
Brock Heward, our Russell Wilson whisperer of Brock and Salk on Seattle Sports 710, our sister station there in Seattle, joins us courtesy of Elite Sportsbook. First of all, before we get to the Broncos, you ran into the Josh McDaniels juggernaut too, didn't you?
Man. Mm-hmm. That was not a good one. Not a good one at the line of scrimmage, boys, for the Seahawks the last couple weeks. Finding a way to stop the run has been an issue, and boy, it's sure going to be nice with, I don't know, the second or third or fourth pick in the draft to get just a difference-making defensive lineman that they're going to desperately need.
Well, now that they've solved their quarterback conundrum and they've gotten rid of that bum Russell Wilson, they could go after a big-time defensive lineman, right?
You know what? So every Tuesday, I think, what are we going to talk about this week? What are we going to have? Which direction are we going to go? You know, I was just sitting here, and we're going to have Stokely come on our show this morning out in Seattle, because I was listening to him and Zach yesterday, and he firmly believes, as I think many in this market believe, as my pastor Jeff believes, that the Seahawks sold Denver a bill of goods. They sold him a lemon. That Seattle knew that Russell was done, that this was coming, and I just... Gosh, and Mark, you called, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't you call the last game of the year against Arizona?
Yes, I did.
And did you see this in any way?
No. He was, other than the first play of the game where he was on a three-step drop and had a little arrow route, and it was wide open. He held it, the strip sack, fumble tie, and then he just played lights out from that point forward. Yes. I mean, lights out.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he moved around. And
sure.
He created, and... I'm honestly not just saying this. I hope you know that after talking to you guys for like 10 or 11 weeks. I don't think Pete and John and anybody in Seattle believed that Russell would struggle like this, that Russell would look like this, that Russell would be unable to create, to extend plays, to use some of the magic that he used for 10 years. I kind of know that they're surprised. You know, we get a chance to sit with those guys and talk to Pete every week, and I think I can tell you, you know, bluntly that they're surprised that it has fallen as much as it's fallen this season.
I want to ask you a 2-part question. First of all, did you ever see in the 10 years you watched Russ ever really have a crisis of confidence, a loss of confidence? And what you watch right now, do you see a Russell Wilson that through a combination of his play and maybe also the vitriol coming from Seattle, maybe surprising him to the point where this guy is at an all-time low when it comes to his confidence?
Okay, on the first one, absolutely not. Never, ever, ever. He came back, I think I told you guys this, from a bye week a number of years ago, and came back a little heavier and played a horrific game and got absolutely blasted. And there were some kind of whispers behind the scenes, but he responded right away, and they turned it right away, and they went to the playoffs year after year after year after year. So, no, and even a season ago, as he battled through the injury and came back and struggled the first 2-3 weeks after that injury, stink saw him at the end of the year, and he played terrific, and they played fantastic football the last few games, and it felt like, okay, the thing has turned. So on that front, absolutely, positively not. On the other end of it, do you still feel like the vitriol is coming from Seattle? I don't. I know
people. But it started there.
I mean, oh, absolutely. Absolutely, it started there. And in rivalry, it started there. And competition started there. The first month of the season, it started there. And the Richard Shermans and KJ Wrights and even, you know, Coach Carroll with the wristband deal. But I can't say the last 3-4 weeks you felt any of that. If anything, you're now almost feeling a level of sympathy and empathy. Like, oh, gosh, is this really going to be the worst trade, as Zach said yesterday, in NFL history? Is that where we're heading? Are we heading from a Hall of Fame career, no question, no debate, to, ooh, this is not, this is, I mean, I feel it's from our audience, as we talk about him, and we'll bring, as I said, Stokely on today, and I'm sure our text line is going to be like, okay, enough piling on, enough with Russ. He's broken, the team's bad, we're going to get a great pick, like, let's move on. That has been much more the sentiment now, is almost empathy and sympathy for the amount of struggle.
Let me ask you just about offense, because I went back and watched game one between Denver and Seattle. And, you know, you watch them, I mean, classic West Coast offense, right? Multiple tight ends, a fullback, we're running the wide stretch, the, you know, the weak stretch, we're running all that stuff, the boot keep game, the play action stuff off of that, watching Russell deliver into the flat because it's the first read and it's open. And, you know, and he had a phenomenal game, although they only scored 16 points, but they had 2 fumbles on the goal line. I mean, it should have scored 30 points in that game.
Yep.
To what I'm watching last week where, you know, I mean, you're running basic concepts out a bunch where you're supposed to pick a guy and you don't pick him. You know, the first play of the game, the point man on the front of the bunch doesn't block the press coverage guy. They're in man, they're press coverage, and he doesn't block him, and it's a 2-yard loss. And then, like, it's constant, but this offense looks nothing like it did in week one. And I know you've had a bunch of injuries, but I'm thinking to myself, why? Why does it look nothing like that?
You know why. Because every coach, and especially a first-time coach, Mark, when you have struggle, what does every coach do? What did Mike Holmgren do? What did Mike Shanahan do? What does every okay, we got to strip it down, boys. Okay, we can't do this. Well, we got to figure out what we can do. We're going to strip out 150 plays. You know, if we got 150, let's strip it down to 100. Well, 100 ain't working. Let's strip 100 down to 50. That ain't working, right? I mean, I think that's the only explanation. Is through all of this struggle, and let's flip over play calling. And when you do, guess what? You get even a little bit more simple. And Orlovsky said it even in their win against Jacksonville in London. This looks like a high school offense. I mean, Cherry Creek and Valor are going to play for the third time in the state championship on Saturday at Empower Field, and you might see more creativity out of those offenses than you do out of the Broncos right now. And I think it's a level of when we struggle the way we're struggling, and I don't think that's right. But wouldn't you ascertain it's the same things, Stank, that's the only answer is through all of the struggle and all of the new players that we just have to simplify, simplify, simplify?
Yeah, I guess for me the big thing is there's not one thing I can look at offensively that say at least they do this well.
Correct.
Because like I've always thought about it from Brock, from my standpoint, is give me one thing we can do well. And you know what? We can do that one thing over and over and over again. We can, you know, window dress it. We can use different personnel groupings. Yes. We can do all that stuff. Yes. And we can build off of that and create some things.
Correct.
But I can't find one thing that I go, okay, you could hang your hat on that. There's not one thing.
and I know they've had a bunch of injuries, and you've lost your best receiver or two, and your best running back, and your best lineman, and those are all very real. But don't you still have three or four good linemen? Don't you have NFL quality, competent guys at the line of scrimmage? Don't you still have a couple running backs that run hard? Aren't those enough pieces foundationally to say, okay, you know, let's get back to this run game and then build off of it. And then, as you said, okay, here comes a play pass off of it. Okay, here comes another formation off of it. Here comes yet another wrinkle off of it. Here comes some jet sweep off of it. Let's do what Lincoln Riley, who I'll have Friday night in the Pac-12 title game, does better than anybody else. Let's sequence this thing together. So instead of just stripping it down to the most basic of base plays that don't really build on one another, let's get to, as you said, what we can hang our hat on and then get a little bit exotic off of all of those things from that play.
Hmm. Yeah.
Sorry, boys.
We solved the conundrum now. Good. It's just not a matter of executing.
Okay, I love it. We got a blueprint to follow. So we'll be able to watch you 6 o'clock Friday night, Utah and USC on the Fox network calling the Pac-12 championship.
Yes, sir.
I like it.
Should be a good one, man.
I like it. Who do you like?
Well, we called this game at the beginning of the year, and it was a 2-point conversion, and probably one of my top 3 games I've ever done in my life. So both teams are a little beat up since then, and USC's playing for a playoff, and it's a neutral field. And I know Lincoln Riley is one of the most appealing guys to NFL personnel, and I don't think he's leaving. I think he's got a great gig there. But, man, is he good. He is everything that Schlereth is talking about, everything you want to see in a system and creativity off of the basics, off of what they do well. So they got a whole lot to play for, and I think it still will go down to the wire.
All right. I'll be watching. Looking forward to that. Thank you, Mikey. All right. There he goes. Brock Huard of Brock and Salk on Seattle Sports 710. Joining us courtesy of Elite Sportsbook. Interesting.
Uh-huh.
If you're already starting to put together a list of would-be new coaches here. Do you go big after Lincoln Riley? Last USC coach that got lured to the pros did pretty well. It continues to do pretty well.
I don't know if he got lured to the pros as much as he had a skip town.
Woo! Heat. Yeah. The heat. The heat's coming.
Right.
I got to get out of here.
Yeah. But yeah, point well taken.
That's true. But Pete Carroll had coached in the NFL before.
That is correct.
Lincoln Riley has not. So,
yeah.
By the way, since we're already talking about people to replace Nathaniel Hackett, poor Nathaniel Hackett. Body's not even cold yet.
Uh-uh.
But I know my man D-Mac was talking about David Shaw at Stanford.
Right.
Pay no attention to the fact he went 14-48 his last 4 years. David Shaw, I'm all for going after a Michigan man. I mean, a Stanford man. But who better? What's better than a Stanford man? A Michigan man. Jim Harbaugh.
Oh, gosh.
Now, wait a minute. Hear me out. If Jim Harbaugh goes to the college football playoff with arguably his best chance to win a title and falls short, or gets there and wins the national title, don't you think the appeal of going back to the NFL might start to really increase again? The idea that, hey, I built a monster program here at Michigan. Maybe I've taken this thing as far as it can go. And especially if he wins it all and says, I want to go back to the NFL. And at that point, it's up to Broncos ownership, big pockets, give him a deal that he can't say no to. Because in Harbaugh, you are talking about somebody who's done it.
Yeah, I get that.
He's not a retread.
Yeah, he's taking.
This is a guy who's not a retread. This is a guy that you would be hiring with the understanding, not only is he experienced, which guys like me like the idea of an experienced guy, but there's nothing about him that would say retread. All the people that whenever you say, hey, I'm interested in Dan Quinn, or hey, I'm interested in Doug Peterson, retread. Boring. Can't say that about Harbaugh. No way.
No, he's gone to he went to a Super Bowl with Kaepernick, lost to his brother, John. Yeah, Jim is, every time I see Jim, I just think he's got a master plan. I think he's got a master plan in place. And every year that he's there, he just morphs closer and closer to that master plan. And that is, he is morphing into Bo Schembechler. Eventually, he's going to be fat, hunched over in them khakis.
Yep.
Yeah, I have little readers on.
Yeah.
And he will be Bo Schembechler.
See, I actually picture him more Woody Hayes as he ages.
Really?
I know exactly what you're saying, right. But I almost see like a cross between Bo Schembechler and Woody Hayes for Jim Harbaugh if he decides to stay at Michigan. Because you're right, he's going down that road.
Yeah.
The khakis, the glasses, the old school glasses. I mean, these are the old school glasses.
Right.
You're right. There's... We'll have Joel Klatt on tomorrow, and I'm going to ask him that question. Joel, does Jim, and you spend a lot of time with Jim Harbaugh. You've had a lot of conversations with Jim Harbaugh.
Uh-huh.
Does Jim Harbaugh strike you now as a college lifer or somebody that you could see wanting to get back to the NFL? Or has he completely put his NFL days behind him? Because you're right. Right now, he comes across more as a college coach than the kind of NFL coaches that we see on sidelines today.
Correct. Correct. I don't know. He's quirky.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's quirky.
But if you're talking about replacing Nathaniel Hackett and you're looking at Stanford guys, don't give me David Shaw. I want to, let's go after Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, Shaw. I mean, one thing about Shaw, you wouldn't have to recruit all smart guys. Like you can get dumb guys that just can run. Like, this is pro football. This ain't Stanford.
Right. You don't have to worry about guys missing practice because they have to take a biochemistry test.
No. So that
did part, anybody in Idaho ever have to miss practice because they had to take a test? I'll take that look as your answer.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.